How's everyone today? Morning, Nancy.
Good morning. How are you, Steve?
Great. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks.
Good for
What's
you.
What's going on in Utah?
Sunshine today, it looks like. A little chilly this morning.
Lucky you.
But, yeah, well, we get rain and snow tomorrow and the next day, so I guess you guys got it yesterday and today, right?
We had rain and, well, we had freezing rain yesterday morning. The highways were a parking lot with accidents all over the place. And then it finally turned to rain. Today it's snowing.
Yeah.
And we have snow on the calendar for like the next 5 days. It's really
You're going, wait a sec.
Has arrived.
Yeah, we always have snow here around April conference.
Oh,
yeah. LDS Church, I mean, that's just almost a tradition for Sunday to have snow, so it's, anyway. Well,
a couple of days ago when it was like in the mid-20s here, last year the same day it was 77. Go figure. I mean, that was totally, totally, totally not normal.
Yeah, that sounds like Denver.
Well,
flown into Denver in the middle of January and it was 76 degrees and the next day it was 20 degrees and 10 inches of snow on the ground.
Yeah, you never know. Somebody else came on, want to say hello?
Good morning, man.
Who's that?
This is Monty.
It's Monty.
Well, it did not sound like, oh, Monty. Hi, Monty, how are you?
Alive, well, and ornery. Don't change too much.
Oh, my.
What a way to start a day, huh? What a way to start a day.
Mary Lou
has arrived.
How are you, Mary Lou?
Good morning.
How are things in Texas?
Well, pretty good. They're still sunshiny and dry.
Oh, you know, you people. Trying to send it this way, finally, would you please?
I wish we could. I wish we could have some moisture. It's unreal.
Oh, again.
I don't know. We're in such a drought, and they say it's going to be worse than maybe 2011.
Boy, oh, boy. Anyone else want to say hello?
Morning, Nancy. It's Betty.
Morning, Betty. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Anyone else?
Morning, Nancy. Fran.
Fran. Do we know Fran? Where
Fran.
Are you from, Fran?
Joanne.
I'm sorry? Oh, Joanne. I didn't think. I thought it sounded like. But I'm thinking, do we have a new person here? How are you, Joanne?
I'm okay. I just woke up, so that's why I don't sound the same.
No, you do sound the same now.
Oh, okay.
You know why? Because we've heard you before when you just woke up. That's probably why.
That's it. Most every morning.
I don't blame you. I'm in awe that you do it every morning or when you do it. Because I think if I were on the West Coast at 4 o'clock, you wouldn't hear very much from me. Anyone else want to say hello? Okay, anybody have any questions, thoughts, concerns, anything good to report or anything challenging to report that we want to talk about?
Well, things are still working for me. I'm still losing and my head's still feeling better, so I feel good. I got in my exercise yesterday, so my points were probably a little better.
Good. But you were in a little bit of a, I don't want to use the word swamp, but a plateau for a little while when you were just...
Yeah, uh-huh.
What do you think
every day it just keeps on moving down like another little 8 ounces or another pound or whatever else, so I still weigh every morning.
So do you think that when you were in a dilemma that it was really happening but you weren't aware of it happening so slowly?
Oh, I was more losing inches. I mean, losing around... In my measurements, I guess.
And
it was
found.
I think it's great.
That's the most important. I mean, nobody sees what the scale says. They see what
cares that. So that's what it is. I'm still losing around the middle, so that's where I need it.
That is wonderful. Can't get much better than that.
No. Can't be. How are you making out with it?
I'm about like you. I'm just, initially it was faster and then it just slowed down, but you know what? It's a journey because it's a life thing. It's not,
it really is.
Next week I have to be at 100 pounds and then I can start eating again because that's not, working.
That's
so glad to hear about your head because to me,
I'm doing paperwork, and I was so far behind because I couldn't tackle it. And this is the best thing that's happened. I don't care if, I mean, it would be nice if I was more from my, in, you know, what is it, the BMI, body mass index around my waist for my health, but really and truthfully, if my head, that's the most wonderful thing that can happen to me.
I agree. Interestingly, several weeks ago, my Tai Chi teacher told me about, and I have no idea what their relationship is. She always refers to him as my friend Joseph, and they are, I don't know. He, you know, I've met him a couple of times already. He's been with her when she's come here. But anyway, he had, and I don't remember exactly how this all started with him, but a big problem, especially with his, and at the time, it was right after I had ordered, my first shipment of the Vital Balance, she told me that it is affecting his mind. And I said, Susan, I just got to tell you about this because it could help him. And I said, do you want, and she said, first she started out with, how much is it? And by the time we were finished, she never even got back to that, and I never told her, and she said, order me one. And I said, you want me to order it now or when I order my next auto ship? She said, well, he's got a couple of canisters of other stuff that he's working on, so he put it on auto ship because she wanted a better price. And, you know, because of the business that she has passed along this way, I give her my price, and I don't care. Anyway. Yeah, I gave it to her last Monday, and I did not go to class. Marty had a doctor's appointment, but I was able to get there just at the end of class to give it to her. And she said, oh, thank goodness this is here. He even said to me this morning, this mental fog is just driving me crazy. I said, well, this could be, you know, really beneficial for him. See what happens. And at class yesterday, before class, I said, what's going on with Joseph? She said two things. She said he was on a drug, surprise, surprise. And when she finally looked it up to see what this drug does, it was for bipolar and schizophrenia. And she took him off of it. And she said his mind improved. I said, well, between the two of them, we may never know, nor do we need to, which was the stronger influence. But I'm so thrilled that this is what's happening with him now. And she said he makes like a quart every day and he's drinking it. And he loves the taste of it. I said, wonderful, you know, keep it up. So, you know, she talked about it a little bit in class and I said to her, did you compare the ingredients of this with the other ones that he was using? Not yet. She said, but I will. But anyway, she does put in she won't go hog wild and she definitely will not become a consultant. She's told me that, you know. But every once in a while she will give me some positive influence in the class. Nobody has picked up on it yet, but you never know.
You don't know. I do think this has, and one upline asked me the other day and I told her what was happening and she said she just heard from one of the consultants that was believed she was going in or maybe they diagnosed her with dementia or something, and I said, well, tell her to get on it, and so when I called her back to see, she said, yes, we've already ordered it for her.
Right.
So I think, you know, anytime people can hear something that does work for them, I think this is going to help with everywhere.
Yeah. Good.
Anybody have any other good things to say or something you're having a challenge with the past couple of days or week?
Maybe I will plant some more.
What are you planting, Char?
I just looked at my pot here that I scrubbed some seeds out of a tomato plant that were sprouted, and I see one's up about an inch and a half now.
Mm.
And that's been, it hasn't been very long. I mean, it's right here in the house. And then one thing I did think of, I was going to tell you before I forgot because I walked by it again, is did I tell you about planting the celery?
Nope. Not that I've
you
heard.
You cut the end of the celery up when you first get it, or, don't break any of the ribs off, in other words, is what I need to say. Don't break any of the ribs off. Cut it up about 2.5 to 3 inches from the bottom. Don't trim the bottom at all. And set it, I've got mine still setting in water, but ideally just push it down in the ground and you'll have a full celery plant. Down at Hippocrates, I got a newsletter from them. They said, they had a picture and the celery was cut off and there was a great big, stalk of celery, the whole head stalk part, coming up out of the center. And that's the way mine looks right now. I should take a picture of it. No, I'll just send the article down that shows it. I thought it was a great idea.
You're recycling.
Yeah, you're getting, they raise all of their own food down there for the people coming to the classes.
Wow.
And so I thought, wow, that's really ambitious. Right on their property, they raise all their own organic food. And they said, this is how we do our celery, because we just cut the end of it off and shove it in the ground, and it grows. And I thought,
oh my gosh,
that is so simple.
You buy one celery, and it lasts you for your lifetime.
Yeah. You might need two or three going at a time, or half a dozen like me, but...
they don't take up a lot of space, do they?
They don't take up... you could easily, probably, in a 5-gallon pail, put a couple anyway. Or at least one great big one if it got huge.
So rather than in the ground, you're better off in a container, do you think?
Huh?
Rather than in the ground, you're better off in a container?
No, I meant for people that didn't have garden space. They were in an apartment or confined area, small area. But it'd be great conversation pieces on your desk. How about on your deck?
How cool is that? I love that.
Yeah, I thought it was really neat. And the other reason I was thinking of a 5-gallon pail is we got dozens of them out by the barn. We get an ample supply for everything that's done around here. And you could start it early.
You could start it in just a
light area inside the house or a garage or, wherever ahead of time.
You could put it in one of those bales we talked briefly about last year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be great. Mine's setting in not even a cottage cheese, one of those containers that are like I don't know how many ounces they are. Anyway, they get the sour cream or cream cheese light, the Toby's.
Okay.
How many ounces? Oh, it's 8 ounces, so it's very shallow, wide, like you'd get hummus in.
Okay.
And it's got about a half inch of water in it. No, 3/4 inch maybe of water in it. And it's
so
doing
it
just
in water.
You
would start it in water rather than soil?
No, I would start it the way they said. I just haven't gotten to putting it in any dirt yet.
Okay. Will you send that to me, please?
I sure will.
That would be phenomenal.
That sounds great, but I didn't hear you write it first. So you're just taking the root part or the bottom part of like celery and all?
About 2 inches to 3 inches up. I'd say theirs is probably cut about 3 inches. You know, where a lot of the white is anyway. And I usually trim off the, half inch anyway off of it. But so you're not utilizing all of the celery, but you're using it to start a new plant. Don't trim the bottom. Just cut it up about 2.
Has left the conference.
Mine's a good 2.5 inches.
That's great.
I love that.
Yeah, I thought it was a fun idea.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Not on the subject, but...
Well, it is sort of because, that's a free food for crying out loud. in many ways
yeah,
now.
And you know, when I grew it, I don't know whether this will taste totally different than any celery I've ever eaten, but when I've grown celery outside, which I have for several years, it tastes nothing. The first celery I ate out of the garden, I thought, oh man, what kind of a seed did I get for this? This stuff is terrible. It's so strong. It's got so much more flavor than anything that I had ever tasted that came out of a store. I mean, it wasn't like tomatoes. It was like 10 times over the difference of homegrown tomatoes and fresh, or, you know, store ones.
Wow.
Yeah, just really, really a strong flavor. And now I've gotten used to it, and I go, oh my gosh, this other stuff tastes like water.
Has arrived.
So we'll see on this if it does the same thing. Maybe after once or twice doing it, it would do that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody have any other questions or thoughts or challenges? Anybody watch Oz last week with Furman? One thing, and I mentioned this star yesterday that I remember from that really clearly, and even at dinner last night, it kept coming through my mind, and I would slow down. The more you chew food, and of course, you know, Oz immediately said we need to each chew, I forget whether it's 10 or 15 more chews each bite. The more you chew food, the more nutrients your body gets from that mouthful. Never heard it put that way before. So the bottom line is, you really need to chew every mouthful. Besides the fact that it slows down your eating, you'll be getting a lot more nutrients from every bite you take. So, anyway.
Let me make one point in there. Year before last, I got at a nursery some little kale plants, and I put them kind of in a little wine barrel, three of them, and that was the best kale, and I had it every day, and it wasn't like some I get at the grocery store, and it was so great for my green smoothies. So I'm thinking, since you said the celery, it reminded me that I'm going to try to do the kale again this year in a flower pot or something, and I did put pomegranates that had dried up and everything in two flower pots. Just stuck them down in the soil and let them come out, and they're coming out.
Oh, how exciting.
Oh, my gosh.
Can't believe it and all. And they were looking so good in two different flower pots, and some little animal got in a flower pot and kind of scraped it up. But I put a thing around it, but they're just looking great. They're up about 3 or 4 inches.
Can I ask you a quick question? I wonder if you could grow dwarf pomegranate trees.
I wanted to share it with you. I just decided, since, you know, you can take a ruined tomato that's no longer good and stick it down in a pot, and in a while it will come up and have your new tomato plants. Like one you're going to throw away?
Yes. And you know, I read two or three times, Martha Stewart even had an article on that, was to let the tomato seeds ferment or, you know, go rotten just to get, when you're trying to plant tomato seeds, is they need to be, they need to be sprouted before you even put them in the ground practically, and, or in whatever, in a pot, because, they do send shoots out right in the tomato. I've seen that. I mean, that's what I planted. That's why I planted these. They already had little green leaves coming out of them inside the tomato.
Well, we've all been where all of a sudden there's a tomato plant where you know you didn't plant one.
Yes, that's very true. They do come up. And, Mary Lou, how big do pomegranate trees get? Are they huge before they start having roots?
You just start out with a smaller bush, maybe like a 4 inches, 4 feet high. Then some of these are so tall I can't even reach them that are in the yard. But they've been there, you know, 10, 15, maybe more years.
So they set on fruit before they get really huge, though, the trees do.
Do, uh-huh. They do.
I don't think they grow in Cleveland.
do what?
I got a grow here.
How cold do your nights get? Don't they get pretty cold in the wintertime?
Yes, yeah. We have 18 or 20 degrees.
Yeah,
oh, my gosh.
High
oh, we can easily grow one here then. We should be able to.
Yeah. Should be able. Yeah, we have it all the time, and they don't take just a whole lot of water or care.
Okay. Thank you. I love pomegranate. So
do great with out there with your amount of water.
Somebody would think that we're talking in May when it's only March and snowing, and we're planting our gardens. I don't know. It's certainly not going to happen here for a long time.
Just put it in
tomorrow is spring. Yeah,
you'll
right.
Have it. Let's get ready.
Fine. You're whetting our appetite here. Anybody else have any thoughts? All right, I have this thing on fat facts. Omega-3s are billed as your body's magic bullet, but they're not all created equal, which we know. Super fats live up to the hype. The strongest evidence is in the area of heart disease. Omega-3s decrease mortality and the odds of sudden cardiac arrest in people who've already suffered a heart attack. The omega-3s may lower triglyceride levels by as much as 35%. And studies have connected fish oil consumption with a reduced risk of depression and dementia. So those omega-3s are really beneficial, as we've talked about before. But choose wisely. Two of the three types of omega-3s, DHA and EPA, are found in fish, especially fatty ones like salmon, tuna, and herring, and other sources like algae. The third type, ALA, comes from plant sources such as walnuts and canola oil, and Americans tend to get more than enough of it. The biggest health boost associated with omega-3s has been linked to EPA and DHA. The evidence in support of ALA is less robust. And then they have a little thing about fish, Trump's fish oil. As vital as omega-3s are, the body can't make these nutrients efficiently. They have to be part of your diet. While fish oil supplements are hugely popular, recent research shows they may not lower the risk of death from heart attack, stroke, or heart disease. Your best bet, a rich food source like fatty fish. Although young children and pregnant women should consume only low mercury sources, and then we go on with that part. It's okay to go with omega-3 enriched foods such as eggs and yogurt, although Oz said that's not even worth spending extra money on. They might contain lower levels of the fat, so check the label for fish oil, algae oil, DHA, and EPA. So, you know, just the omegas are really important, the omega-3s. We certainly get enough six, or at least the average American gets enough sixes.
Nancy, when you just said, had you commented before on what was said on Oz about the, don't spend money on eggs that are,
you shouldn't spend extra money on the eggs that are enriched with and all the stuff that they're putting in there, you know, whether it's the omegas or whatever.
Also, he said there was a gal, I think it was a gal on there, that explained what exactly it meant when it said range-free or cage-free. It doesn't mean much of anything at all.
Right.
It means that they may be let out of the cage 1 hour a day or something stupid.
But it doesn't mean they go outside, and they could be standing there in their own poop.
Yeah, okay. You commented on that.
That's true.
Okay.
But a couple weeks ago he said something about spending extra money on, for people who buy eggs. It is not worthwhile to spend extra money on eggs that are DHA enriched or whatever they're enriched with. So that was his opinion.
I would say only if you know the farmer that's raising them, because like up here where we live, there's a lot of people that have eggs for, not a lot, but there's enough that have eggs for sale. And you can tell when you break an egg that's been in a chicken that's really left run. And,
you know, picks everything out of the ground or half the stuff out of the ground, because the yolk will stand straight up and look at you. I had somebody say to me one time when we cracked one of them when we were eating eggs way back when, that thing is looking at me. It's like it's staring straight up at me. How come it so the yolk stands so high above the white? Because it doesn't, you know, blend down into a flat patty like the store ones do. Or even the ones that they think are trying to tell you are better.
Yeah.
Consequently, there's a difference in the taste.
Yeah. Since we're almost at the end of the time, these couple of things popped out at me last week when I was reading my Simple Abundance book, and I thought I just want to share some inspirational, hopefully, things from 2 days. This is from March 13th. And the title of that day for this book, and I've talked about this book many times over the years, but I don't usually read things from it. Accepting yourself as you are today. Today we make peace with the past, with the bodies and faces we were born with, and those that have evolved. Before genuine love can flourish, we must finally accept ourselves exactly as we are today. Remember, acceptance is acknowledging the reality of a situation. I am what I am, and what I am is wonderful. You should say to yourself, that should become your personal mantra. And then on March 15th, on Friday, self-nurturing, the hardest task you'll ever do. Why should self-nurturance be so frightening for most women? Perhaps we are all Scrooges when it comes to self-nurturing, because if we were kind to ourselves, our creativity might begin to blossom like a plant moving toward the light. Of course, this would mean we'd want to make some changes in our lives. Then she goes on to say, the way to take giant leaps and strides toward our authenticity is through small changes. Leo Tolstoy believed that, quote, true life is lived when tiny changes occur, end of quote. Take an honest look at how good you are to yourself. There is a connection between self-nurturing and self-respect, Julia Cameron reminds us. If you want your life to come together, you have to start treating yourself better. No one else can do it for you. Today, make a list of 10 nice things you could do for yourself. Now select one and do it. You have absolutely nothing to lose from experimenting with self-nurturing, and everything to gain. And then the next day on the 16th, which was Saturday, what do you like about yourself? Look at yourself lovingly and begin to appreciate what you are. This exercise is more than just skin deep, because I want you to take an inventory of what you like about yourself. Most of us are very quick to criticize ourselves. We're always finding things wrong with the way we look. Today, we're going to discover and give thanks for what pleases us. This light is love, and you are sending it to every cell in your being. Find 10 things that you absolutely love about your face and your body. Do not stop until you have at least 10 things about your personality for which to be grateful. And the last sentence is, today be willing to search genuinely for your glorious possibilities and rejoice in your divine authenticity. I hope that something I just read will give you inspiration today in the week and set you on a road to feeling better about who you are, where you are today, and a path to change if you want or need to. So, anyone have any final questions, thoughts, concerns?
That's good. I like that.
Good.
That was excellent, Nancy.
Well, you know, sometimes something just jumps out at me and I say, I got to share this part. You know, I've been reading this book for many, many years, and I do it every night. So.
You can read it many times through, and many of them you probably won't remember exactly to the point that one that jumps out at you, just like you say.
I think, you know, did I really read this before? And yet it's been probably close to 10 years that I've been reading it. So, yeah, it's... it's rare now that I will highlight something, because most of the pages have a lot of highlighting. And I remember initially I would do it with a different color highlighter each year, but It's just, I don't know, it's something I've been doing, and I don't see myself stopping doing it every night. So, good book.
Good habit.
It is, and I like that usually they're very rarely much more than a page of that, and sometimes they're even only half a page, three quarters of a page, it's even nicer. So,
thank you,
have a good day, everybody, and stay warm wherever you are, and I'm watching the snow blowing horizontal here. We'll be back tomorrow with Betty. Thanks for everybody's participation and interest in this call.
Thank you, Nancy. Good call. Thank you.
Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.